الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقولهم إنا قتلنا المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم، وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك منه، ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن، وما قتلوه يقينا، بل رفعه الله إليه، وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama, dear respected brothers and elders, and dear mothers and sisters, as we all know, that today is the day of Friday. And this specific Friday, day of Jumu'ah, is regarded as the Good Friday. This is the belief, this is the thinking, ideology, and mindset of a group of people around the globe. In the entire year, today is the day which is regarded as Good Friday. But if we look at it Islamically, from the Islamic perspective, each and every single Friday is a Good Friday. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in the hadith that every single Friday is a day of festival and jubilation. It's a day of Eid. This is why when non-Muslims came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they said that there is one verse of the Quran. If this verse was to be revealed on us, we would have made that day a day of festival and celebration. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This verse of the Quran was revealed on the day of Arafah. They said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if this verse was revealed to us, the day of Friday would be the day of Eid for us. Because that was the day of Hajj, day of Arafah, day of Jumu'ah, and Hajjatul Wada', the last Hajj of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that our Prophet has instructed us that every single Friday is a day of Eid for us. So there is no such thing as Good Friday in the Islamic calendar. Every single Eid, every single Jumu'ah is a day of Eid. But we need to understand, why do a group of people believe that this day is a day, is a Good Friday? They believe that on this day, on the Good Friday, Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam was crucified. And he was crucified on this day. And after 2 or 3 days, he rose back up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to the heavens. And his ascension took place. So the day when he was crucified on the cross, that was this day, the day Good Friday. This is supposed to be something bad, but why do they celebrate this day? Because they have this concept, they have this thinking, that the reason why Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was crucified on the cross was in return of the sins of his people. All the sins his disciples had committed. Because of those sins, for the forgiveness and pardon of that sin, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam gave the sacrifice on behalf of his entire nation. And he was prepared to be crucified on the cross. Because he gave this sacrifice, they celebrate this day, Good Friday. And the Islamic concept is, our belief is, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was not crucified. He was not killed, he wasn't executed. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up to the heavens without being killed. وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions very clearly and boldly that these non-Muslims, they say that we have killed Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ They have not killed Isa ibn Maryam. They have not crucified Isa ibn Maryam. Rather, their matter was made confusing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when this order was executed, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam should be captured and he should be crucified, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed a person's face into the form of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he looked like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. People thought this is Isa ibn Maryam. In reality, he was not Isa. He was somebody else. And there is difference of opinion that what was the real incident took place behind this. Some people, they say that it was one of the disciples of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That when he knew and when he was aware, when he was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that very soon you will be executed and you will be crucified on the cross, but I will save you. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he called his disciples, the main disciples, and he said, who is ready to give sacrifice? If somebody is ready to sacrifice his world over the akhirah, over Jannah, then he should volunteer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change his physical appearance, and he will look like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will be crucified on the cross. Hence, one person got up, and he volunteered, and it was this person who was crucified, not Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And according to another narration, there was one person from his disciple, from the people of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, but he was a munafiq, he was a hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. So he went against Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. When he heard this news that they will capture Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, this person went to the enemies of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, I'm ready to help you, and I will be the first person to kill and execute Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was from the people of Isa, but he was a munafiq. So this person, he was used in capturing Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, where the house wherein Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was residing in, this person went inside. When he went inside, he did not come out for a long time. So other soldiers, they went inside and they only saw one person inside. And that was this person who entered inside, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his face and everything, and he looked like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They captured him, believing and assuming that this is Isa ibn Maryam. Whereas this person was not Isa ibn Maryam, he was the munafiq and hypocrite who went inside to capture Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was raised up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Islamic concept we have with regards to Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was such a great prophet that he is from the Ulul Azm, the top five ranked messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, but not as a god, not as a son of God, But he is a Nabi, he is a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a great prophet of Allah. He was given many, many miracles. Many miracles. A person who is sick, who had an illness of leprosy. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam would pass his hands over this person and he would be cured. A person is dead and he would bring this person alive. Amazing miracles given to Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Ulul Azma Peygamber and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us look at the background of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. That who took part in building the personality of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Because today is Good Friday, alhamdulillah, a lot of people here. So I like to give this general message to each and every single parent, each and every single youngster sitting here, and also every single child sitting here. Who played a pivotal role behind Isa alayhi salatu wa salam? That was his grandparents, by the name of Imran and Hannah, husband and wife, extremely devout and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They dedicated their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night, they would spend their time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had this desire and longing that we should have a child. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them a child for a very long time. And finally, the dua of Hannah was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she was expecting a baby. Now she made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They, oh Allah, I'm expecting a baby and I'm ready to sacrifice this child for the service of your deen. I'm ready to sacrifice this child for the service of your deen. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. She vowed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, when these sacrifices happened, then we see a result in the world. Then we see a result. All the parents sitting here, we should take lesson from this. A great moral we can learn. That when we have children, this is an amana and trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, at the same token, where this is an amana and a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to take care of this trust of Allah. It is our responsibility that we give time and we put effort behind them. And we give everything in nurturing these children of ours. Nowadays we are worried about their financial needs and their financial well-being, their future. That my child should become a doctor. My child should become a businessman. He should have this much wealth. And I should buy a house so my children do not have to suffer. Alhamdulillah, this is a good intention as well. This is also from one of the purposes and objective of our life and our children as well. But on the other hand, the other responsibility is more greater than the financial need of our children. And that is the Islamic upbringing. We need to nurture our children. We need to nurture our children. My brothers, we work in the youth. The type of questions they come to us, it makes us cry. It makes us cry. Where is this ummah going? Where is this ummah going? And parents are oblivious, unmindful of the tarbiyah. Day and night they're working. Husband is working, wife is working. They don't care about their children. Where do my child go? What does he study in school? Who does he hang around with? Who are his friends? What is his aspirations? What is he looking forward to? What does he want to become? We don't have time for our children. As a result, our progeny and our offsprings are going far away from deen. And I'm saying this very, very clearly, that they are not only indulging themselves in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather they are leaving the fold of Islam. They are leaving the fold of Islam. Believe me, the question they ask, The question they ask, you can tell that this person has become murtad. He has left the deen of Islam. And many of them had announced openly to us that I don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. How can you prove that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a true prophet? How can you say that Quran is a book of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? These are the statements coming out from our children. Our children, my brothers. And some of them are houses. They are so-called pious houses. But in reality, my brothers, our houses are not as pious as we think. We need to create the environment of iman in our homes. The environment of iman. This is why we should do ta'lim in the house. You know, the five amal of the masjid. Our tablighi brothers, they say that we should have five amal of the masjid. We should make them alive. This is the reason why when you do ta'lim in the house, this will nurture them Islamically. Let us worry about our children, my brothers and elders. If we don't, that these children of ours, they'll go out of our hands. The building of Islam is based on these children. And we need to nurture them from now. Since they're a child, don't think that he's only a child. Don't think he's only a child. When he grows up, will do his tarbiyah. Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest muallim and greatest murabbi to come in this world. Study his life and you will see. Once Hazrat Hassan or Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they took a date of sadaqah and they placed this date in their mouth. Small child, 3, 4, 5 years old. What does he understand? But when he saw that he has eaten a date of sadaqah and we are the family of Banu Hashim, we cannot eat anything from sadaqah. Straight away he placed his finger inside his mouth and he took everything from his mouth and he said that, do you not know that this wealth of sadaqah is not halal and permissible for us? He did not think that he's still a child. When he grows up, I'll tell him that this is not halal for us, it's not permissible for us. Since childhood he used to explain to people, to his small children as well. We need to instill this iman, this belief, this yaqeen, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts and mind. Since they are a child. Many parents, they come to us and they cry that our son, our daughter has gone astray from a straight path. The first question, my brothers, we need to ask is, what have I done for my children? Have I ever taken out any time to sit with them and actually discuss something about deen? Have we asked them anything? Ask this question, each and every single parent sitting here. And remember that you will have to answer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, that kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyyatih. That each one of you are a shepherd, is a responsible person. He will have to give an account on the day of judgment for all those who are under him. He is responsible. You are responsible. I am responsible for my children. And some mufassirin have written under this verse of the Quran, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, that those children who were buried alive, they will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, that what was the reason why you were killed in this manner? My brothers, some mufassirin have written here, that those children who moved away from the straight path, even these children will be asked on the day of judgment, that why were you killed spiritually and Islamically? Why did your parents did not do your tarbiyah? What will we answer on the day of judgment? And we do not create the environment of piety and righteousness in our houses. And then we think, we wish, we aspire that my child become Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. How can that happen? And the first and foremost thing we need to do is, we need to assess our life. If we're not going to pray salah, how can we wish that my child prays salah? If you're going to commit sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can you wish and desire that my child stays away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need to set an example for our children. We need to set an example for our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I'll end my talk with this, that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, O who you believe, قو أنفسكم, save yourself. Save yourself and save your families. From what? النار. From the fire of Jahannam. From the fire of Jahannam. My brothers, I don't have time to go into detail. In the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the severity of this fire of Jahannam. But I'll just say this much, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, that قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, that you should worry about yourself, save yourself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Save yourself from the evil actions and vices, so don't commit sins. So the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon you. And also you have this responsibility on your shoulders, that with worrying about yourself, you also need to worry about your children as well. You also need to worry about your children as well. One person, this is the message for the youth as well, that we need to worry about ourselves, that we have to go and stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you live a life of disobedience, then we will have to go in the fire of Jahannam. And parents, they should ponder upon this portion of the verse, that we have this responsibility on our shoulders, that we take care of our children. And also the children sitting here. Also the children sitting here, ahead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, that this fire of Jahannam, this will be started by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be lit up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through people and through rocks. Through people and through rocks. Once a person was passing by, a pious person, by in the streets, and he saw one child standing on one side, and the other children were playing on one side. This person, he was passing by, he saw this child that he's crying on one side. He went up to this child, "Are you okay? Are you in need of something? Can I help you in any way?" This child said, no, alhamdulillah, I'm fine." Then he said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I'm crying because this thought came to me that we did not come to this world so that we can play around and we can waste our time in playing around. We are here for a purpose. But these children are playing here, they're wasting their time." And so this person, the pious person, he decided to test this child, and he asked him further on that, "Okay, this is the concern, but this concern is such that you are crying." That he said that, "Yes, then afterwards I had this thought in my mind that when I look at my mother at home, that when she lit a fire in the house, she uses small sticks to lit this fire first, then she puts a bigger sticks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that this fire of Jahannam is such that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lit this fire, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use people. I fear that on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists the fire of Jahannam, He uses small children like me. And we are put in the fire first, and the fire of Jahannam is led. So my brothers and elders, this responsibility is very, very immense and great upon our shoulders, that we take care of ourselves and also our children. I was intending to say some more things, because there's a lot of things in my heart. There is pain inside my heart. That looking at the state of the Muslim Ummah, and especially the youth and the youngsters, I really like to open up in front of you guys and let you guys know the state of our children. My brothers, wake up and take our children to the pious people, in the company of the pious people. Take them in jama'ah, bring them to the masjid and sit in the ta'lim, sit in the durus of Quran and hadith. Our Imam Sahib, they give time. My brothers, we should also take out some time for our children, for ourselves. Bring them to the masjid and let them sit in these good environment, and keep them away from the evil company, from the bad company. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.